Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 18, Episode 5. This is Writing Excuses.
An interview with Mary Robinette Kowal.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Lan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Dan.
And I'm driving. My name's Howard Taylor, and I get to lead this interview of my friend, Mary Robinette Kowal.
Hi.
Mary Robinette, I remember meeting you at Worldcon in, was it Montreal?
It was World Fantasy, but yes.
Was it World Fantasy?
World Fantasy. I'm pretty sure it was World Fantasy.
It was World something.
I'm pretty sure it was Worldcon because that was the year that I got to be in the People versus George Lucas movie.
Okay.
But we podcasted, and episode 3.14 was Mary Schools, Brandon, Dan, and Howard about using puppets to teach us how to write. That was when I met you, but that is not when you started. You have done a bazillion things, and I know that one of them is puppetry, and another is teaching your cat to talk with buttons. Where did you come from?
Where did I even? So I was actually an art major in college. Art education with a minor in theater and speech, because being one of those kids who wanted to do everything, that was the closest I could get to doing all the things I wanted to do.
The everything major.
Yes, the everything major. I was firmly convinced. So before that, I was firmly convinced that I was going to be a veterinarian specializing in cats. And then looked at my math grades and actually just looked at my grades in general. And was like, oh, hey, it turns out I'm good at art. And went to college to do that. And I can render. I have good technical chops that I have used outside of school. I've been an art director. I've even illustrated some things. But I looked at the stuff that my friends were doing and realized that I had technique, but I didn't actually have anything to say. And with puppets, I had both. I had the technique and I had things I wanted to say. I had a voice that was specific to me. And fell in love with that and chased it and did that for 20 plus years. And somewhere along the way, also started writing again because I had stopped. And again, had that moment of, oh, not only is this fun for me, but there are things I want to say. It's very much the, storyteller with any tool you'll give me, but some of them I have more things to say than others.
That is fascinating to me because I feel like, well, you and I are clearly very different people, because I feel like if I've got something to say and I have technique, then I've got something to say using that technique. Mm-hmm. I've seen your art and you drew a picture on a tablet at one point when we were in Chicago. And I remember looking at it and thinking, why are you not just doing this? You've got so many wonderful things to say, and clearly you've got mad art chops. Why don't you say them that way? And so that, I don't understand that. I'm not denying that it's a thing, but I just don't understand it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either, honestly. I don't know. Elsie, however, does have things to say.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mary Robinette. Was there a specific moment or project or story that helped crystallize for you either, you know, visual art is not for me or puppetry is for me because of that? I have something I want to say. Is there anything specific attached, or is it more broad than that?
It's broader. Some of it is the you know, the difference in where I am in my life, I guess. But with the writing, I very clearly remember that I was, when I came back to it, my niece and nephew had moved to China with my brother. Skype was not yet a reliable thing. So, you know, I started writing this story for them. And if you go back pretty far into episodes, you can find a thing where we do a deep dive on an outline for, I think I was calling it Two Ordinary Children, or Journey to the East. I can't remember which, but it's the novel that brought me back to writing. And I remember that I was starting to write this thing as a serial for my niece and nephew. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just write an episode and I'll kind of choose your own adventure my way through it. And that I was starting to think about what happened next, and starting to wonder where the story was going, and that I wanted to know what happened next. And that was this moment of going, oh, I think I have something here. And that curiosity, that wonder, that what's the next thing? What's the surprise? And for whatever reason, when I draw, when I paint, I love it. I really, it's very satisfying, but it is not surprising for me. There's no curiosity about what's the next thing around the corner for me.
I think that is such a wonderful way to think about it. And I'm so glad, you know, that you expressed it that way. One thing that I always encourage people against is this idea of comparison. You know, that moment you had where you looked at the stuff that your friends were creating, and what I thought you were going to say is, and I could see they were so much better than me. And that's not what you said. And that's a really important difference. What you said is that you found your voice and your excitement in a different style of art. And so I don't want people out there to, you know, just get discouraged and stop doing one thing. But the way you did it instead is, you got very encouraged by something new and exciting and followed that passion, which is such a better way of making that decision.
Yeah. And like, I, as I said, I use those skills. It has framed the way I approach things. I still take enormous satisfaction from it. It's just, I get more satisfaction from other things. I have stories to tell that, I, you know, the tools for me are better with puppets and with fiction.
You know, you're exploring all these different media, you're exploring all these techniques. Do you find that it's almost necessary for you to jump to another thing to sort of refill your creative tank, to sort of get back to the writing side? Or is it all kind of orthogonal and incidental to each other?
It depends. There's and a lot of this is a new understanding of it. If you had asked me this at the beginning of, you know, when I joined Writing Excuses, I'm sure I would have answered it differently, but I don't know how I would have answered it, because at the time I didn't understand that I had ADHD. And one of the things that helps is the new. Like, I'm drawn to the new. And in hindsight, it's like, oh, that's why I had a very successful career in theater, because theater is everything is, it's constantly moving to a new show, you know, and you do that show and you get really good at it. And then the season is over and you go to a new show, or you're doing a television show and it's a different, you know, each episode is different. You have to learn this technique and that for this particular thing. So it was constantly, new was constantly happening. And with the writing, I think that's one of the reasons that I keep moving genre, is because that's some of where that newness comes for me. But I also, one of the other things for me that is a driver, and again, it's like, oh, in hindsight, is the challenge. And so the refilling of the well, it's less about going to something else to refill the well, and more about finding something new to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that's the, I'm going to take my friend's advice and try to write this book without an outline. and sometimes it's, you know, I'm going to learn to make a Regency gown that is entirely hand sewn.
Oh, wow. Okay. And on that terror inducing note, let's take a quick break for Thing of the Week. And then we're going to come back and I got some cool questions queued up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge, and I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WX. Hey writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to talk about The Monsters We Defy by Leslie Penelope. So I met Leslie through friend of a friend and was told this person is great. And then I was like, you know, I'd like to, and correct, Leslie is fantastic and extremely talented and very smart. And then I was like, let me read this person's fiction. And so I listened to The Monsters We Defy. It is such a good audiobook. So it is Prohibition, Black Washington, heist novel with ghosts. It is so good. The heist is so beautifully structured. Like, I spent a lot of time looking at how to construct a heist, and this one is so just exquisitely handled. There's the assembling of the team beats, and I love all of the teams. There's at every heist, there's a twist, and the twist is it's just so cleverly handled and moving in the way that it's handled. It's like, I can't tell you about it, but you need to listen to this book. It's also really well narrated. It is smart. It is moving. It's funny. It's dealing with generational trauma. It's dealing with fashion. It's dealing with magic and ghosts. And I love it a lot. I keep talking about it on kind of everything I go on. So this is The Monsters We Defy by Leslie Penelope.
I have a question about the toolbox. Because Mary Robinette, you have thrown so many tools at us during the last decade or so. You know, the mice quotient, obviously, we come back to a lot. The axes of power that you've talked about a little more recently, discussions of creation of tension, discussions of the way learning to read things aloud changes the way you write. Do you have a go-to favorite when you're stuck? When you fall back on craft, what's the first tool you reach for?
Yes, but no and. Because almost always when I am stuck.
Sorry, I thought you were yes, but no anding my question. And I'm like, it wasn't enough.
The worst yes. improv tool ever.
Yes. That's going to be my yes. new response when I get interviewed in like someone else's podcast. Just.
It sounds like a dame. Yes, yeah. but no and. Mary Robinette, please continue.
Yes, but no. Okay, so the reason that I said yes, but no, and is that almost always when I'm stuck, it's because of the, okay, but what is the next thing that's supposed to happen next? It's usually I have a general idea of the scene, and I'm in the scene. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. So I look at what my character is trying to accomplish. So I guess in many ways that the actual answer is that I go back to my theater roots. I'm like, but what's my motivation? And then once I've got the motivation, it's the question of does she succeed at this thing? And it's going to be, yes, she succeeds, but there's a negative consequence. No, she doesn't succeed, and there's a negative consequence. And then more recently, when I am in the latter part of the book, realizing that the but and the and represent directions of progress. So, yes is closer to the goal, but is a reversal. And is continued motion. So yes and gets me closer to the goal. So it's yes and a bonus action. And that has helped me so many times when I'm kind of trying to inch forward towards the ending. It's reaching for that has been very useful in a scene, especially if it's like something is coming too easily for the character, it's too hard. I can like, okay, you can adjust direction of action.
Okay, I'm who curious. Else has questions? Aaron.
I'm curious. Yes. So you have all these amazing tools, and I'm curious if there's anything you wish you had a tool for, but you haven't yet figured out, something that you're working towards figuring out.
Yeah. That's a great question. And I'm sitting here, for the people who do not have the video feed, I'm staring into the middle distance as I think about the novel that I am writing right now. I wish that, a thing that I have been thinking about a lot recently, which I will talk about later in the season, is the difference between conflict and tension. And I wish I had a set of tools for talking about tension that is not conflict-based and how to manipulate it. I'm starting to kind of be able to identify it and some of the tools to manipulate it. But it is still such a new concept to me because so much of my training as a writer has been story must have conflict. And I've been coming to realize that a story must have tension and that conflict is the easiest way to teach that, but that I don't think that it has to have conflict. So like one of the things that I'm actually trying to do in this book is have the conflict come from the cooperation or have the tension come from the cooperation. It is working, but I don't have a toolbox for it. And I'm definitely feeling myself, my way through it and am looking forward to being at a point where I can reverse engineer it and can reverse engineer what other people are doing. Like I can tell that other people, it's like, okay, this is a subverted expectation. What are the dials for setting up that expectation? What's the point at which you subvert it? Well, does it matter which direction that you do the subvert, you know, like when you veer off of the expectation, does it matter which direction you go? How do you control that? Like that's for me, the toolbox set that I am excited to get my hands on next.
Let me know when you've got that one labeled.
I love watching your process, Mary Robinette, because, and this reminds me of like, there's a thing that the physicist Richard Feynman said at some point about, you don't truly understand a concept until you can teach it to a freshman seminar.
Yeah.
And I see you over and over again, tackle these new ideas, these new techniques, these new things, and like watching you sort of figure out how to internalize it, how to do it, and then how to explain it to other people seems to be the cycle that I see you go through. And it's always really exciting just to watch that and participate in it and end up getting to reap the benefits of the result at the end there.
My dad says that actually what I am is an engineer, really. And he's sad that I didn't go into programming. The rest of the world is happy that I did not.
There is a computer somewhere that is very sorry that it's not running a Mary Robinette Kowal program, but it's not running one, so it's unable to speak to us, so meh.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, you have some homework for us?
I do. What I want you to think about is I want you to think about the skills that your non-writing life has given you. I talk a lot about the stuff that I've brought from puppetry. Dan has talked about the stuff that he's brought from doing, you know, audio, which is granted still writing, but it is the non-writing aspect. Howard talks about the stuff that he gets from drawing. Dongwon and Aaron are going to be talking about these things as well as we go through the season. So think about your own life. What is a lens that you have that gives you a tool set that is exciting to play with in your writing?
Thank you very much, Mary Robinette. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.